Anyway, well, I guess we can get started here because, like I say, we got a good program with Todd Wilkinson is going to give the first lecture or talk tonight. And then George Wharton will take over after that. So with that being said, for those who don't know, Todd is an author, a journalist, and he's been, since 1985, the way I have it here, you've been a professional journalist. That's about 36 years, Ruth. And he's a writer and founder of Mountain Journal, and author of several books. I don't have any idea how many, but we have, he has been an activist on behalf of the conservation movement, and for that we appreciate you taking the time out tonight and sharing with us your wisdom, and it's well appreciated. So I will hand it over to you, Todd.
So I'm daunted being here, actually. You know, a lot of people in this room I've known and have been very gentle with me in my education over the years, and so I'm really grateful for that. You know, it's popular now and just and right that we acknowledge the homelands of the tribes that were here, right? But I think we should do something else. I think we should acknowledge the homelands of wildlife, particularly since this is the Gallatin Wildlife Association. And you know, as we see a group in retreat from the word wilderness as if it's a bad term, or it's a term that the public can't handle. So, you know, it's interesting when we do events like this, one of the grumbles after the fact is, well, it's just a bunch of gray hairs. Well, I want to say F that, and here's why. So a few years ago, 4 summers ago, Mountain Journal was founded, and I kind of dropped my freelance work for Nat Geo and The Guardian, and the reason is because there was no focus on the greater Yellowstone issues. This was before COVID. We had growth, we had climate change, we have disease, we have wildlife migrations and connectivity. We have outdoor recreation and in its own industry. And so when I started with this, people said, you know, you're never going to make it. Look at what's happening with media. And we now have nearly 210,000 Facebook followers. We have more engagement than any other media organization in the center of the country. But it's engagement levels. You know, you can go like this on Facebook, but it's really a place of where ideas are exchanged. It has to be policed and refereed. I have banned 8,000 people from commenting there, from both the right and the left. I've deleted 40,000 comments. So if you come on there and you start, you know, talking about killing liberals or conservationists, you're going to be banned. If you say you're going to hunt the hunters, you're going to be banned. So what we have is a safe space. So when I went out initially with Mountain Journal, I kind of thought of myself as Yul Brynner in The Magnificent Seven, trying to go out and enlist those oldsters, each with a skill. Like there was the knife thrower, if you remember that. And what I really think about this is we have to rally and form the Magnificent Thousand. And you know, there's one way you can call gray hairs, you can also refer to them as something else, and that's elders. So there's no reason why that we should only respect elders who are indigenous. It's all of us are haunted with our age of carrying forward knowledge. We know a lot, and so we know what's worked and what hasn't worked, and we definitely know what's not working today. And we can look out into the murk and we know that trouble is not coming, but it's already here. So what I want to say tonight is the warm-up band to Mr. Werthner. The other day I was talking about Gallatin Wilderness with someone, and they said, oh, the Gallatin Wildlife Association, it's all a bunch of radicals. Well, so, to your point, so what does it mean to be a radical? What does it mean to have courage? What does it mean to have vision? And who gets to decide who a radical is, who has vision, and who has courage? And, you know, who's disruptive? I've been covering conservation issues for 35 years. And where we are today, with Mojo labeled by some as being radical, is I was mainstream 20 years ago, the things that I was doing. There was more ecological literacy in Bozeman, Montana 20 years ago than there is today. And I would take this group and put you up against any other group of equal number in Bozeman, Montana to talk about what's at stake here. So instead of apologizing, rise and be part of, you know, defending the village and the Magnificent Seven. So on this, I want to ask some questions. Is it radical to protect something that's valuable and special to society, or is it radical to let it slip away? Does it take courage to build more trails into the wild backcountry, knowing there'll be negative, ongoing, and deepening impacts on wildlife as humans use it? Or does it take more courage to say a trail shouldn't be built? Is it radical to say that public access does not equal conservation? Think about that. Outdoor recreation does not equal conservation. Doesn't mean that I don't, you know, I grew up on motorized use. I drove a snowmobile to hockey practice. Before I could drive a car, I got a snowmobile license. My uncle killed the last wild wolf in my county in Minnesota. So I understand rednecks. I understand motorized use. I appreciate them. It's all about context, right? But I want to use a few real-world examples, and George has talked about this as well. When we think about what radicals are, think about this. In the 1870s, when Thomas Moran and William Henry Jackson came out, and it's true that Yellowstone is a racist construct. It's absolutely true. But we can't turn back time, and it's what Yellowstone represents in terms of an opportunity today. But aside from all that, when we think about Yellowstone National Park, was it a radical idea to make it the first national park standing in the face of manifest destiny and saying, that pattern isn't going to happen here. That destructive pattern isn't going to happen. Now, the territorial legislature and locals, we always defer to locals, and Paradise Valley didn't want it because they wanted to appropriate the uses in Yellowstone National Park. So who were the radicals? In Grand Teton National Park, Phil Hansen, who I was able to know pretty well at last part of his life, he was a Teton County Commissioner, was opposed to the Rockefellers, was opposed to Olaus Murie. And they maligned the Murie family so much that their kids were alienated. The townsfolk wouldn't let their kids play with the Murie kids. It got really ugly. And they said that expanding the park out of a monument into a national park would destroy the economy. Well, Phil Hansen went on to become governor, and he went on to become a U.S. senator. And in the final years of his life, he had the courage, the cojones, to say, I was wrong about preservation. So here we are today, and we're talking about radicalism. You know, I would like to ask, is it radical for Jim Bailey to stand up and promote this idea that we should be put, that we should have our own state bison herd in the CMR, in a place that they were painted by Carl Bodmer, in a place where Charlie Russell painted them? You know, is that radical to put them back is it radical to push back on the notion of bison being treated as an exotic species? Is that radical? You know, is it radical for Joe Gatkowski to go and walk the perimeter of 230,000 acres of wilderness, kind of saying, I want to see if it qualifies as an 80-year-old? Did you know, by the way, I'm about to write a story on this. Do you know that Joe Gatkowski almost single-handedly stopped a road being built from where the 320 Ranch is that would go up over Porcupine and would have come out Tom Miner? So imagine that. Northwestern Energy, the Forest Service, and Plum Creek, they wanted to build this road under the auspices of a power corridor. Plum Creek would have gotten in and clear-cut all of those sections on the Gallatin. There'd be homes in there today, and Big Sky would have a ready access to the front door of Yellowstone, a back doorway to the front. So what would have happened? Was that radical to do it? Was, you know, is it radical to say we shouldn't be dumping sewage into the Gallatin River? Is it radical to be saying we shouldn't be having domestic livestock mixing with bighorns and giving them disease and wiping them out? I mean, all of this stuff that's perceived to be radical. And we have Nick, who works with Kit Fisher, former journalist, done good, by the way. You know, is it radical for Nick to raise points about chronic wasting disease, or to be up in the legislature pushing back on the most draconian treatment of predators ever? Is it radical to do that? Is it radical to say that the Democrats frankly blew it? We turned to a red state, but we own that. You know, it isn't that they did something great. We own this. Why can't we talk better with rural people? We own that. So, you know, the truth is that no seminal conservation achievement, and you guys, what I like about this is the spirit that brought me in as I shifted from a journalist into becoming an advocate for facts. I wouldn't call myself an activist, but I am an advocate for facts, because I think when we have a more informed society, actually I think it favors conservation. So no conservation effort has good, lasting conservation effort has ever come from compromise immediately and giving up. It is a result of compromise, but we would not have Yellowstone or Grand Teton today if we had gone through the collaboration format. We'd have a largely diminished park. And so we look back on those who stood up as radicals in their time, and they pushed back against the status quo, and that's what all of you have done. It ain't fun, it ain't popular, you feel isolated, but history's gonna vindicate all of you. And so before I pass the mic over to George, I just want you to think about the Gallatin Range for a second. A narrow range, no road across it, thanks to people like Joe Gatkowski and allies. Runs in Yellowstone, comes up to Bozeman. By dint of miracle, there's no road across it. One thing that we fail to forget about the Gallatin, the land exchanges there, is that the Bangtails paid the price for that. Used to be a grouse hunter up there. Newt. Absolutely newt. We gave up public land to private land. It got nuked by timber companies up there. It's not going to come back in our lifetime. It's an important corridor. But when you think about the Gallatin, so when I'm talking to my editors at magazines that I write for, they say, well, what's important about these? If you took the Gallatin Range, so at Mountain Journal, we define wilderness as places where wildlife that are hard to live with or have a hard time persisting can still make a living. So if you look at the Gallatin Range, all of the major mammal species that were there in 1491 before the arrival of Europeans are there. Every single one. So based upon that, if you consider wildness, having wildlife presence to be a barometer, were you to pick up the Gallatin Range and drop them into California, it'd be the wildest mountain range in the state. Drop them into Colorado, wildest mountain range in the state. Oregon, Washington, Utah, wildest mountain range in the state. This is our Yellowstone. This is going to determine where the radicals are and where they're not, and that future generations are going to look back on this because it's such an opportunity. The other thing about the Gallatin Range, if you measure national parks based on wildlife diversity and the health of wildlife, apart from Glacier, Yellowstone, and Grand Teton, the Gallatins would be wilder than any national park in the country. So this isn't a local issue, this is a national issue. We have this opportunity to do this, to compromise out of the gate. You know, I'm just saying that as a journalist, we have to know what we're giving away. We absolutely do. And what you guys have done is you reminded the public that there are a number of proposals out there in front of them. And the challenge now is to rally, get people to rally and make the case. For the same reason that the Democrats got creamed in the last election, the onus is to make the case for why this stuff matters. And so I know George has been tirelessly out there advocating for this. There's a film that's coming out on this that's going to be pretty cool. But we have to, one thing I know about journalism, you can't say something once and it's good enough. You have to repeat it over and over and over again. And this notion, look at, I have a mountain bike in my garage. I don't have any sort of preternatural, demonic view of mountain bikes. But when we talk about trails, access does not equal conservation, and critters don't care what gender, race you are if they're being displaced. They don't care. It's not where we are, it's where use is going to be in 30 years. As someone said, Moab went fishing for a little bit of tourism and landed a great white shark. We're going fishing for a little bit of recreation access and we're going to land Moab. And so, again, it's not being anti-mountain biking or anti-motorized, it's being pro-wildlife. So I would just encourage everyone to consider the message on that. And, you know, radicals have always been vindicated throughout history. So anyway, thanks for inviting me to come here. Thank you.